GoDaddy.com. Use the code BLU139 to get 10% off any combination of purchases at GoDaddy.com. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1370, July 6, 2010.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Interstate 40. Somewhat east, getting close to the Albuquerque area. If you've ever driven out here in New Mexico, around the Albuquerque area, if you're coming from the east, there's this part where you kind of descend down this long, you know, it's kind of a mountain grade before you get to Albuquerque, and it's the same is true on the other side. Once you leave Albuquerque, once you go west out of Albuquerque on Interstate 40, you have to climb back out. So Albuquerque's kind of, I guess, down in a large valley area. So in any case, it's kind of surprising. The top temperature I saw today in the Texas Panhandle was like 90 degrees. And, it's been in the 80s. This evening it was like in the 80, 86, something like that. And I happened to look down a while ago, and right here, as I kind of descend into Albuquerque, or at least getting closer, it's 62 degrees. That's hard to believe, you know. I'd say there was a temperature change, because not that far up the road, it was like still 86 degrees, which would be normal, really, for the desert, you know. Just kind of depending on the weather, because the weather, you know, it's not always the same, but I'm kind of surprised that it's 62 degrees here. That's a little bit, really, that's surprising. So, because Albuquerque is not known for cool weather in the summertime. I mean, this is early July, after all. Now, I have seen on the internet, when I glanced over the headlines, that the East Coast is experiencing, like a heat wave, you know, and there's, you know, Washington and Baltimore and places like that, they're kind of complaining that, over 100 degrees, it was 100 degrees or over, you know, and oh my God, it's a crisis. It's summertime, what do you expect? That's absurd. Our society has just really descended, it's just become whiny, you know. Yeah, I don't know, and a lot of it has to do with the news people. I don't know, I'm to the point now, we're not getting any news anymore out of conventional sources. So, you know, turn it off. Get rid of it. Cancel it. You know, if you can get away with it, cancel your cable subscription. Cancel your newspaper subscription. Cancel your satellite subscriptions. It's just all garbage. And then, you know, if you can do that, if you can get away with that, cancel all those things and then pick and choose what you want. You know, because I guarantee you, you think you want that satellite service, you think you want that cable service, you think you want whatever it is that you've got as far as the mass media stuff. A lot of people think they want it. I did. When in fact I really didn't. It was more of a conditioning thing, I believe. And you're far better off if you can pick and choose what you're going to watch, what you're going to consume. Whether it's entertaining or entertainment, whether it's information, whatever it is, you're far better off just making the conscious choice of picking what you're going to watch. And then, you know, if you pick something that's bad or something that's poor, move on to the next thing. It's not that hard. So, because if you're making the conscious choice of picking something, then if it's not what you want, or if it's poor and if it's boring or it's just not giving you what you want, then you're going to move on. But if otherwise, you're sitting there with the in front of your cable system or your satellite system, and you're sitting there and you're flipping through, you know, kind of channel surfing around, looking for something, whatever it is, the least boring to watch or whatever, or you're kind of going through your list of programs that you've recorded to your DVR, you're trying to find something that's halfway interesting. And that's the wrong mentality. You want the mentality where you actually have to pick something. And you have to actually kind of be, because it forces you to be more conscious. If you actually have to pick something, it forces you to become more conscious. And when it comes to entertainment and information. So, as far as what's coming out of mainstream news organizations, so-called mainstream news organizations, it's all propaganda at this point. It's just garbage. When I was, before I left, it was about, I guess I woke up around, got out of bed around noon, Central Time there at Oklahoma City. And so I got around, and then I decided I'd just go ahead and go inside their restaurant, that TA truck stop. I went into the restaurant and I sat down at the counter and ordered a bacon lettuce tomato sandwich, and it came with fries. And so I was sitting there eating it, and they had this TV over in the corner, and it was tuned to CNN headline news. I guess they just call it headline news now, and they've tried to kind of revamp the look of it. But in any case, periodically they were showing these different stories, but periodically they would, you'd have these ads. And the ads, if you can't really hear the sound, it's interesting if you do the experiment, just turn the volume down where you can't hear it. And oftentimes in a restaurant or in a public place where they've got a TV, they may have the volume, they're not going to have it blaring usually. So the volume on this one was, I could hear it. They had it turned up a little bit, but I couldn't really understand a word they were saying. And so it was essentially as if I was just watching, they had it turned all the way down as far as for where I was sitting at, and then plus the background noise in a truck stop, because there's always a lot of noise if you're really conscious of it. Those places are pretty noisy. But I was just sitting there occasionally glancing at the images. And so these ads, some of them are just very slick, and it's like that, they're using that slickness, they're using that to kind of program something into your head to make you think a certain way. And if you're not conscious of that, and even if you are, it can still end up kind of having an effect. Where they kind of condition you to sort of when you see certain shapes, you see certain, it can be done with brands, it can be done with, you know, different logos, but they can condition you to sort of respond emotionally in a certain way if they do a good job putting their ads together. They can condition you to respond, you know, you see certain things depending on what they want you to, you know, what program into your brain, and you respond that way, and you don't even think about, you know, and you really have to kind of consciously think about it. And I guarantee you, if you can become conscious, that you'll discover that there's different things that you do automatically respond to, because your brain automates a lot of this stuff. You automatically kind of have been conditioned to respond to certain things in a certain way, and then, you know, and you're not even aware of it. And, you know, so turn that stuff off. Just, you know, and, if, you know, I'm not saying get rid of your TV. You know, that, you know, I know there are people that, oh, we've got rid of our TVs. We don't want, they're horrible. You know, no, I like technology. I like televisions. You know, I think they're, you know, it's potentially, you know, it's a very good thing. You know, you can learn a lot, you know, from TV programs. Or movies, or so on and so forth. There, you know, it's, but it can be misused. It can be used in a wrong way, and if you're not careful, you can be sucked right in. So, just you're better off if you're choosing. You're making a conscious choice of which, if you're going to watch TV, then you have, you know, you're better off if you have to make some sort of conscious choice about what you're going to watch or what you're going to consume. Or, you know, or if it's news, you know, get on the internet and, you know, and just have a variety of sources that you can look at, and then you can kind of tell whether or not, if somebody's trying to spin something a certain way, or what have you, and you can, you know, and you'd be much better informed, because what they show on television, you know, if you're watching television to get your news, then you're just getting propagandized. That's all there is to it. I don't care what you're watching; you're just getting propagandized, and even if, you know, plus. Any network TV that you watch, anyone, and not just the big networks, but any commercial television that you watch that has ads, you're getting propagandized with those ads. You know, now I'm not saying all ads are bad, not at all, but you know, because it, you know, good advertising also should be educational, but. You know, some of these ads, I mean, it's, you know, it's fascinating to watch them, because if you're conscious, because you see how they can just suck you right in. You know, the drug ads are a great example of, you know, sort of presenting you with something so that you just get sucked right in into thinking, you know, like Ambien, you know, the, you know, or whatever it is, or Viagra, or I don't even think they advertise that anymore, Cialis, you know, they're programming you. There is propaganda to get you to, you know, either think a certain way or buy certain products or whatever it is. And you're better off just shutting it off and then having, you know, being forced to choose something. So that you want something you actually want, instead of just something that you're just going to end up with anyway. You know, I don't know, but the whole idea of picking the least boring thing, you know, and that's what I used to have to do before podcasting came along in the late 2004. That's what I had to do. I was forced to just kind of either turn the radio completely off, You know, and of course I had tapes and stuff, but, you know, and that's the extent of the control. I could play tapes of play CDs or play tapes of music. And that was really the extent of the control that I had over what I was consuming. But, you know, other than turn the radio completely off or, and turn the music completely off or turn the radio on. And then I would just sit there and play with it and you know, kind of every 30 minutes kind of keep changing and, you know, looking around, searching, occasionally finding something, you know, I was looking for the least boring thing. And so once in a great while you'd find something interesting, but not really very often. And overall, it's a terrible model. You know, you're much better off if you can choose what you want. You know, you're 1,000 times better off. So, and I've been doing that with podcasts for, you know, ever since late 2004. You know, now we're in mid-2010. So, you know, there's no way I could go back to just, you know, I haven't listened to the radio in ages. You know, I'm sure it hasn't changed. Same old garbage. And the television really is the same way. Turn it off, get rid of the cable, get rid of this idea that you're going to surf around and find the least boring thing on your cable or satellite system. Simply go to a model where you actually have to pick something. You know, even if you got to pay. You know, because I was listening to this App Judgment podcast. I think it's Revision 3. And in one of them, they were talking about, it's about Android, basically, and iPhone. And, App Judgment is just about phone apps. And so sometimes it's iPhone apps, Android apps. But in any case, we're talking about this, you know, Hulu for $9.95 or whatever per month. Now they've come out with an iPhone app and they've come out with an iPad app, and you can pay, you know, the basically it's $10 a month. You can pay for Hulu. They give you an extended amount of what you can watch. You know, they've got more content. It still has ads in it, but they give you more content. And then they give you content, they make it available beyond just watching it on their website on a computer. You can watch it on your phone. They're building it into TV sets. They're going to push it out to other, you know, Blu-ray players, other set-top boxes. You know, they're going to push it out all over the place, but you've got to pay for the content. You know, it's $10 a month, you know, which is... But it's really a great value if you dump your cable. You can, because you're paying the $10 a month, you could still watch it on your, like on a set-top box, get rid of your cable, and then there you can watch it. You know, so... But in any case, these guys that were on this podcast... They were kind of complaining, well, I'm not going to pay for content that, you know, where they're still going to have the ads in it. You know, even though they're limited ads. I like the way that Hulu does ads, because they give you the countdown timer and, they're short, sweet, back, you know, quick to the point, and then you're back to your program. So, you know, and then, but they are making that available on a wider scale of devices. So, basically giving you what you want, when you want it, so on and so forth. And then, you know, they were saying, well, you can get it on Netflix, you know, it's later. Well, if you really want something now, you want it now as opposed to, you know, waiting until it shows up on Netflix, some people will pay for the convenience. But, but these guys were complaining. They want it for free. It's not for free. You know, if you're paying for cable, you're paying for satellite, it ain't for free. Believe me, you're paying dearly for it. You've just kind of justified in, you know, at least, you know, I realize now, I justified in my mind, you know, basically, I was justifying in my mind paying for those three channels that I watched all the time: Discovery, TLC, history, I was basically paying $97 a month for access to those three channels for 5 days, maybe 5 days out of the month. And I wouldn't always even turn the TV on. Might turn it on, you know, once or twice while I was home. And so, total waste. Far better off, you know, if I wanted to watch those shows, pay for the seasons on DVD, as I said, no way would I pay $1,200 a year, even if I bought the DVDs of the seasons of all these different shows. So what was all that money going for? It was going to all these other garbage channels, and I do mean garbage. There's some real garbage out there. It's just worthless. You know, you think you've got all these choices. They've sold you on all, oh, we got 200 channels, 250 channels, 500 channels. If you pay, you know, you want to pay big, you can get, you know, all kinds of channels. Then they'll sell you on-demand movies. But of course, you got to pay to, you know, you can't just have the on-demand movies. You got to pay to, you know, your basic subscription before you even have access to that. You know, so it's ridiculous. People are kind of conditioned, and, you know, they've, over time, they've conditioned people to kind of justify it in their mind what they're getting, and then they just keep paying for it and paying for it and paying for it. So just pay for what you want. You know, it's going to be a whole lot cheaper. You think it's going to be the other way around? You think it's a bargain? You think cable's a bargain? You think satellite's a bargain? It really isn't. Just pay for what you want. You know, and I think in a lot of cases it'd be a whole lot cheaper. Just depends. Now, I realize everybody can't do that, but you know, there's a lot of people that can. You know, like people in my situation, I can pay for what I want, and I'm a whole lot happier doing that. So, but anyway, earlier today I was thinking about, you know, I keep hearing these people talk, you know, you hear this phrase, you know, and it seems like people are using it all the time anymore, but you hear this phrase, boots on the ground, or on the ground. You know, and they do that particularly in the media. You know, you hear them talk about on the ground, you know, on the ground in Iraq, on the ground in Afghanistan, on the ground in Louisiana, you know. So, well, what the hell, where the hell are they then? You know, on the ground. Are they up in some cloud somewhere? You know, some ivory tower cloud? You know, that's what, you know, that's, it's interesting if you kind of pick, sometimes you can pick the language apart and how people use language, how people structure phrases, and, you know, it's really revealing at times, oftentimes. And I don't know, so when you hear people say, oh, on the ground and wherever, what that really means are troops on the ground. They're in their little ivory tower, you know, their little intellectual ivory tower. You know, they're in a dream world. They're not in a real world. You know, and then, you know, to kind of bolster what I'm talking about, you know, have you heard the term, oh, he's a grounded person. He's really grounded. She is really grounded. What the hell does that mean? Someone's grounded. I guess it means the, you know, that they're not in their ivory tower. You know, one time there was this one Star Trek episode. I don't remember the name of it anymore. I've watched it obviously a number of times over the years, but there's this one. It's in the original series. There's this one Star Trek episode where Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, and you know, they end up on this planet where there's these people that they meet that live in these cities in the clouds, you know, and so these people have this, you know, they're in the, you know, they start out, you know, they meet these people that live in these wonderful little marble-halled cities in the clouds, you know, and it's all very beautiful, and you know, they've got their city in the clouds, and then come to find out that, you know, they've got this other lower class of people that live on the ground, that actually live, you know, on the ground, and they're doing all the dirty work. They're mining and, you know, so on and so forth. And these elite people live up in this cloud city. And, you know, Gene Roddenberry was a genius because, you know, I think he saw, you know, he understood a lot of these, really how the mind works, how human beings operate, how they tend to operate. And so what he did, he was using the Star Trek episodes in the original series as a sort of metaphor for what people do and how people live their lives. And, so you can take that episode right there. You know, you have people living in the clouds, and the elites, the people that think that, you know, they're better. We're better people. We're running things. These other people, oh, they're dirty people. They do, you know, they have to work with their hands. They're filthy. They're dirty. They're on the ground. And there are people that think that way. Particularly people that have been educated. There are people that are just have been completely educated away from their common sense. They've given up their common sense. They've been miseducated, of course. They've been separated from their common sense. It starts in the nationalized public school system. And if you're not very careful, then college, they really stick it to you. And so, we've ended up, you know, corporations, government has ended up, you know, kind of falling for this idea that, oh, we have to have these people, you know, they have to have such and such a degree, you know, pedigree, what have you, to, you know, for this job and pedigree for that job. And chances are, if they've got that pedigree, they've been separated from their common sense. They've never lived in the real world. They've always lived in a kind of a psychological dream world bubble. Kind of perched on the backs of other people. You know, in an ivory tower somewhere, you know, kind of discussing their theories, their Marxist theories, their communist theories, how they think that they can make everything utopian. And in the meantime, you know, they may be, you know, able to memorize a lot of facts, but they're brain dead, they're brainwashed. And the ideas that they come up with are actually stupid and won't work. They don't work. Communism never works. Marxism never works. It's always a failure. It always will be a failure. You know, right now, it's, you know, Barack Obama's been president for a year and a half, and he keeps coming out and saying, oh, we inherited, it's like he's in campaign mode, oh, we inherited this. Woe is us. You know, and then they come along and they're just agitating, agitating, agitating. Oh, you're poor. You don't have a job because of those bad Republicans. The people that were, came before. You know, and so, you know, they're always going to have some kind of scapegoat. So there's some reason why it's just not working right. You know, it's really absurd. As I said before, it's been at least a year and a half, or probably longer, since I came in the truck out to California. Now, I did, you know, I have made, you know, like last year, I made the trip in my pickup out to Las Vegas for the Blog World New Media Expo. And, you know, there were a fair number of trucks out last year, or, you know, it was in the, you know, I think it was in October of last year. There were a fair number of trucks that were out on Interstate 40. But I have to say that now, this is July the 5th. It's the evening of July the 5th right now as I record this. And even though there was a July 4th holiday, you know, last night there at that TA truck stop, you know, right in Oklahoma City, there were plenty of parking spots available, which is kind of surprising considering it's in town. Because, you know, people use that, you know, use truck stops as parking lots that are in cities. And, you know, so I've noticed the same thing as I've, you know, kind of driven across New Mexico this evening. I've been kind of, you know, there's some big truck stops that I've driven by, and I've kind of looked, and I can see fair number of parking spots. And, you know, in the past, go back a couple of years ago, in the past, those things would be full at night or almost full. You know, so it's some of the ones that have been full in the past, you know, they're kind of halfway vacant. You know, they got trucks in them, but and they're still open, but you know, you can see some parking spots, you know, from the freeway. So it's actually, you know, it's very revealing, you know, kind of what's happened. And then the other thing that I've noticed is that, you know, there's been trucks that have passed me. You know, there's trucks out here. The trucks haven't completely gone away, but the number of trucks compared to, let's say, a couple of years ago, the number of trucks out here on Interstate 40 in New Mexico, so far, you know, Texas Panhandle, New Mexico, west of Oklahoma City, the number of trucks out here is down, as is the amount of traffic. You would think that, you know, right now you'd have lots of tourist traffic, you know, particularly out here in the Southwest, and it's, you know, there's some, but not that much. You know, it's really surprising. It's not really, you know, I'm not surprised because I knew it would probably be down, but, you know, it's, I don't know. The thing is down. I knew that trucking was down. Obviously, there's not many loads now that are kind of going across Interstate 40. You know, from, you know, like, you know, out to California and back. There just aren't as many loads as there were even a couple of years ago. You know, I've heard drivers say, oh, they're hauling more of them on rail, which I think is true. They're, you know, because they can, maybe they can get some cheaper rates if they can possibly haul, you know, the containers on rails or trailers on rails, you know, on the railroad. You know, if they can possibly do that, it might take longer, but you know, they can get it done cheaper. You know, and then they have to go through some extra hassle. There's always a hassle factor dealing with a railroad, you know, and railroad yards. But, you know, and then the other factor is that the economy is down. And it's, you know, it has not improved. You know, there's not been any improvement at all, you know, since it started going down, you know, in late 2008. It has not gotten any better, despite what they've said, that despite the propaganda that they put out on, you know, on the news, mainstream news, it has not gotten any better. The only reason it's better for me now is because there's been a ton of trucking companies that went out of business, and you know, a debt-free company is, you know, they're in pretty good shape. You know, they can, you know, if you have a debt-free trucking company, they're all set. They can just you know, they're set to sort of weather the storm, and so it becomes, you know, they just have to just wait, and a bunch of trucking companies go out of business, and then they, oh, we're here, we're still here, stuff still needs to be hauled, we're still here, you know, and then so they're sort of poised to, you know, you're going to end up with companies that are able to kind of charge what they, you know, whatever the market will bear. And, you know, there were too many trucks. I think there was an overcapacity, you know. There's obviously, when the demand goes down, there's an overcapacity, and then it has to adjust. And so that is precisely what has happened. I think I'm going to get off here. That is precisely what has happened. The capacity has adjusted. So, there are fewer trucks on the road. And so the people that are still left, you know, then things kind of balance out. And it's, hey, it's kind of improved for me. So, and it definitely has improved for me. You know, it hasn't improved for... What about the people that aren't out here driving now? What are they doing? Don't know. But, you know, the number of trucks is way, way down compared to what, you know, what it was. It's dramatically, dramatically different. So, I don't know. That's worth kind of noting, and it certainly makes it easier finding parking spots, I can tell you that. Well, I've now stopped for the night. I ended up stopping. There's a casino type place that's also a truck stop that has truck parking. That's just not very far west of Albuquerque after you go up the big hill. I think it's like the second exit west, something like that. And so in any case, I've stopped here, and it's just amazing. Because at night, before, 2 years ago, if I stopped here at this time of night, the place would, you know, all of the truck parking would be taken, and you'd have a hard time probably finding a place to park, at least, you know, where I'm parked at. And tonight, you know, there's some trucks in here, but there's plenty of parking spots left. And, you know, it's dramatic. The difference between now and the last time I was through here, maybe a couple of years ago, the difference in the number of trucks, the volume of trucks is astounding. It's way, 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 way down. I would have never believed it, you know, but pretty amazing. So that's just an indicator. You know, I've known, you know, for a while I've been saying that the number of trucks is down. It's gotten easier for me to find parking spots, even in the east, even in the northeast. And that is also certainly true. You get out here, you know, like a place like this, and the parking is definitely way, way easier to find a parking spot. And then the other thing, there's just not as many trucks passing me, you know, because, you know, most of the time, you know, I'm going 62 miles an hour. Most of the trucks, the majority of them, are going to be passing me. And, back a couple of years ago and before that, you know, there were a lot of trucks out here on Interstate 40. It was just a constant stream back and forth. Quite a few trucks, and now it's definitely down. It really is. It's dramatic. So, and I'm afraid that things are poised to get much worse. From the news stories I'm seeing, then of course the new taxes kick in. There's going to be a bunch of new taxes that kick in January. A lot of people are accelerating if they can. You know, there's people that have the option of taking income now. Sometimes, you know, there are types of people that have the type of income where they can kind of shift it from one year to the next. And what's happening now, a lot of people know those tax increases are coming, and so they're shifting them to 2010, because starting in January of next year, there's going to be a number of dramatic tax increases. And, you know, the Bush income taxes expire, and then you've got some other new types of taxes, capital gains taxes and so on and so forth, that are going to go up, and they're going to kill economic activity even more. It's just asinine what's happening. So it's going to get worse. Even in November, provided we have an election in November, I hope that the election happens. I hope our election happens. But, as the way things have been going, I wouldn't be too surprised if there was no election. If something dramatic happens, we have to cancel the election, declare martial law, cancel the election. But provided there's an election in November, then even the Republican, they take the House, take the Senate, bunch of incumbents get thrown out. Even if that happens, at this point, the economy is on the way down, and it's gonna take a long time for it to come back, because the momentum is down, and despite what you're hearing on the news, and what's interesting, you try to tell some people, like my mom. My mom just kind of refuses to believe it. She she'll start defending Obama, and doesn't want to face the fact that things are in trouble. She kind of, in a way, she sort of knows the economy's bad, but then if you start talking about it, the way I talk about it, and then she starts, she goes into this mode where it's not Obama's fault, and bad Bush, and it's crazy. It's the darndest thing, and that's what makes me think that maybe half of the population of the country has converted to communism. Is some form of communism or socialism. They've converted already, and they don't know it. They don't realize it. And then furthermore, they'll defend it. They'll defend what's wrong. Why would somebody defend what's wrong? Well, the principle is, let's just imagine, use your imagination for a minute. Some of you people won't have to imagine because you've already got it, but imagine you've got a teenage kid, a teenage son. And then all of a sudden that teenage son one day comes home and he's acting, it's like he's a doctor, he's acting completely different from what he did before. And you suspect he's on drugs, he took somebody, one of his slimy friends talked him into taking drugs. And so once he's done that, once he's crossed that line, and there's a mental, kind of a line that you cross when you do something that you know is wrong, but you do it anyway. Once somebody's done something corrupting, then they'll defend it. The natural thing is then to defend it. To not, they want to think that it's right, and they have to have their slimy friends agree with them that wrong is right and right is wrong. And suddenly the kid went from, from being your friend to almost he sees you as the enemy. Trying to kill his fun. And the principle is once people do something wrong, then they have a tendency to defend it because they don't want to realize they're wrong. And that goes right along with, it applies to, any number of things. It's a principle. It's a basic principle. But it certainly applies to wrong political ideas, wrong ideas, wrong, people will accept something, and then they can be pressured, because all you have to do is pressure people, and a lot of people will just, kind of end up giving in, believing the wrong ideas, you know, and the conditioning kicks in, and then they defend the wrong as if it's right. And in some cases, they'll defend it to the death. And so, but suffering can also cause some people to wake up. Not everyone can wake up from suffering, but it can cause a lot of people to, once they begin to suffer, then that suffering has a kind of a magical way of causing people to, at least some people, part of people, to begin to wake up. So there's going to be some, you know, you think we got suffering now, just wait. Just wait till next year and the years following that. It's going to get bad. I don't see any way around it at this point. It's going to get bad. So I better be prepared. You better be prepared, because it's coming. You know, and the people that are easily emotionally upset are going to be in real trouble. You know, because if you do the wrong thing, you react the wrong way, and it can be deadly. You react the wrong way, you know, your emotions really, you know, can end up destroying your health. Because a lot of health problems are based on wrong emotional reactions and denial. I mention it once in a while. If you go to my website, truckertompodcast.com, up at the top, there's along the top of the site there, there's a link that says meditation. Click on that. That'll take you to a page where you can download. There's about three files there, three MP3 files. You can download them, right-click on them, save them to your computer, burn them to CD, however you do it, whatever you want to do. You just listen to them on your computer if you wish. It's a meditation exercise, very simple. And it can really, if you really try that, give it a real honest try, and if you find that it helps you, then stick with it, keep doing it. But if you can get control of your emotions, and you know, you don't even really get control of your emotions. What you know, this meditation, if you practice it correctly, it puts you in a place where you don't, you know, where you're kind of distanced from your emotions. And, you know, suddenly it's like you put, you know, like in the Star Trek, you know, they put up their force field and the enemies, you know, the enemy kind of wears themselves out, you know, kind of, you know, trying to attack the force field. You know, and the Starship Enterprise is safe behind the force field. Well, you can kind of be safe, you know, if you can practice this meditation that I'm talking about, that's on my website, that you can, it's just there for, you know, you can download it, try it out, use it. It's good stuff. If you can do that and gain the benefit from it, then one of the benefits, you know, is that if you can get out of your thoughts, you know, not, you know, kind of practice being, you know, separating yourself from that swirl of thoughts that's always going on in your mind, that, you know, it's like a little squirrel cage, it goes around and around and around. And if you can kind of learn to separate, you know, become separate from that, learn to separate from that, then it's as if you put up a force field. And then the people around you, you can have all kinds of chaos going on. You can see it. But it's kind of a paradox. It's as if you're in a different place. It's as if there's a distance between you and what's happening around you. And, so begin to practice that. You know, some people, I don't know, they may want to wait. They may have to wait. People, you know, I know there are people that just seem, they think that, oh, I don't need to do that. I know what that's all about. I don't need to do that. Well, things may have to become a little more chaotic in your life. There may have to be some more chaos before you begin to look for real answers. You may have to suffer, in other words. So, anyhow, probably better be cutting this off. See if I can get this thing uploaded and then get headed to bed. And then I've still got, according to my GPS, I've still got 752.4 miles to drive. So, obviously, I don't know, I'll probably drive, maybe 550 miles tomorrow. And then that will leave approximately a couple hundred more miles to get to where I'm going, City of Industry, California. And then, of course, the load delivers at 7 p.m. on, I believe, Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific time. So, let's see, today was Monday, and then, so the 6th is Tuesday, and then 7th is Wednesday. So, that'll leave me about 200 miles more to drive on Wednesday, and then as I say, the load delivers at 7 p.m. Wednesday evening in City of Industry. So, in any case, hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.